Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Link Show. We are live on Sundays here, 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. Our phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online, it's all about the digital space, folks. So I've already been tweeting, at Glink. If you're not following me, you don't already know what we're talking about today. But if you do follow me, you do, because I tweeted it out a couple of minutes ago before we started the show. Also, on the website, thinklink.com, thinklink.com. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It points you in the direction of the Equifax Finance blog, which is just burning up with amazing tax information. Unbelievably, we're able to stay on top of what is going on with those changes, and our tax expert, Eva Rosenberg, has been putting out just some great content on if you're a small business owner, if you're just you, what you can do to get on top of the changing tax situation. The IRS has already thrown up its hands. I think it's not even opening the doors for business until the end of the month. Very, very unusual. And there is still talk about pushing back April 15th for maybe the first time in history. So if that happens, of course, we'll be on top of it here at the Elise Glink Show. Also, CBS News, lots of great stuff. We put a great post up this week. What can you buy for $11,000? What can you buy for $11,000? We're going back to that. It was such a great, it's such a popular series. So we're going to go put some new properties up there now that the market is turning. 404-872-0750, lines are wide open. I want to start today with something we've been talking about and kind of circling the last couple of weeks. We talked about at the beginning of the year how I was going to give you some new tools if you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, and we do. We have some new tools coming. The Equifax Finance blog, we're launching a small business category and small business library of information, and that should be online sometime the end of this month, maybe in the next 2 weeks. And, of course, I'll let you know both on the newsletter and on Equifax and all the rest on my Twitter page. But it's not just enough to try and rebuild small business, right? It's really about rebuilding you and rebuilding America one house at a time. And the idea that we're all still pointing fingers and, you know, trying to lay blame is one thing. I'm seriously, every single day, somebody just asked me yesterday, I was in Boston after swinging through New York, and somebody said, but what do you think about all the settlements, the foreclosure settlements and this and that? It's good. You know, $3,000 is better than nothing, but nothing is as good as having your house back. That's what I really think. But focusing on this, focusing on settlement after settlement after settlement, doesn't do what I really want to do on this show this year. It doesn't get at the heart of what's really going on and what I feel is so desperately needed after 6 long years of pain and pain and pain. So much pain in this country. I was asked on Friday in New York, just walking around, met somebody. How do you hear about all these things? I wish I could open up my inbox to you so that you could see that I literally have tens of thousands of email from folks who are still struggling as though it's 2009. 2009 is when this recession supposedly ended. 2009, in June, it was officially declared over. And my contention is that for the vast majority of America, we don't have closure on the recession. It isn't over. There are so many people hurting in this country. And I have said from the very beginning, back in 2006, back when it all seemed great, that unless you tie a really strong jobs market, a really strong engine of growth to real estate, you're never going to have a really solid real estate market. You just can't. People can't afford to pay their mortgages. So if you have a job for $75,000 and you lose it and you get a job for $45,000, it's great that you've got a $45,000 a year job. It's not the same as a $75,000 a year job. And whatever it was that you were able to afford at $75,000 a year that you rightly thought you would be able to afford for the next 25 years has evaporated. And so what I want to do this year is I want to help rebuild America. I want all of us to help rebuild America one house at a time. I view every call that comes in here, every call that comes in, as an opportunity to help one family right their ship. And I hope that by listening to that family, you are going to be able to turn around and take that information and share it with somebody you love who's also in the same boat. Because I don't for a moment believe that each person who calls is unique and nobody else has that problem. I mean, we know because how many refinancing calls do I handle in a given weekend? Plenty. And yes, mortgage interest rates near the all-time record low again, down in two one-hundredths of a percentage. And I'm happy to take these calls, 404-872-0750. I'll even pay for it, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take those calls all day long because I know that each call helps you rebuild a piece of your life and take a step forward. Behind the scenes, I have spent the last 5 years helping dozens of families rebuild their lives by helping cut red tape. You've heard me talk about it on the air. People call in having trouble with Bank of America or Citi or Chase or Wells Fargo. Can you help me? And I have been doing that behind the scenes, one house at a time. Kind of the way that Clark's Consumer Help Bureau does it as well, right? I want to help you get back, if not to where you were exactly, on the path. It's the weekend of the inauguration. We've got 4 years. Well, I guess 2016 has already started. But in my mind, I have at least 2 years until it's time for another election. What I want to do is focus on you. You and small business, you and your house, you and your finances, you and your family. Let's try and make 2013 a place and time that the rebuilding really kicked off, that we had hit the bottom and we started on the upswing, so that by the time we get to the end of this year, which seems so far away, and we'll be here before we know it, the blink of an eye, like all these years past these days. Maybe Einstein was on to something. I don't know. That you're going to feel like you're in a better place. And if I can help do that, either with the website, thinklink.com, or the Equifax Finance blog, or what I do on CBS News, or what I do on Yahoo, or what we're doing with small business, if I can be of some help, that's what I want to do. I want us to rebuild America in the way that we imagine she can be with all her greatness. It's what I think about every morning. It's what I think about when I go to bed. We just need to work together to make it happen. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to the phones. Kim joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What can I do for you today?
I plan to retire maybe 7 to 8 years. Is there any way I can figure out an estimated amount of what I might be eligible for Social Security at that time?
Sure. You can go to socialsecurity.gov or ssa.gov. And that website, first of all, every year you should be getting an estimate. Do you get an estimate? It's mailed to you every year?
Yes, I misplaced the one for last year. I can't even remember what that amount was, but that I can also go by the one that I should be getting in the next month or two.
Yeah, it usually comes 6 to 8 weeks before your birthday.
Okay.
But you can go to ssa.gov, which is the Social Security website, official website of the U.S. Social Security Administration. You can sign in and create an account. It says at the top, it's the second button next to home, and it says My Social Security. You can sign in. It's a locked account, and it will give you your benefit verification letter, which is the one that you misplaced. It'll allow you to check your benefits and payment information. You can change your address and phone number. You can start or change the direct deposit of your benefit payment when it comes time. So it gives you all of that.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Oh, good. You're welcome.
I love your show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kim. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Sarah joins us on the line. Hey, Sarah. Sarah, are you with us? Sarah? Don't know what happened to Sarah. All right, let's try Susan. Hey, Susan, welcome to the Elise Klink Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on today?
Well, I have a question. It's kind of off topic. I sold my parents' house last year, at the first of last year, and I had to apply for an EIN number, and I got a form from the IRS that said I need to file a 1041 form. So I'm assuming that I can go online there and print that form. But my biggest question is the sale of the house was divided four ways, depending, I guess, on the cost of the home. Is there taxes involved in that, like capital gain or whatever? I mean, we sold the house for like $80,000.
Did you, so your parents both passed away. You inherited this house?
Yes.
So when you inherit property, unless your parents had last year there was no estate tax in 2012.
Right.
So you shouldn't owe any tax at all on it.
I just want to make sure because all the tax things that are going on, it's all so over my head, I don't understand any of it.
Well, first of all, you know how I feel about people who throw up their hands and go, I just can't understand.
Yes, I do.
Because I know you can understand it. So let me bring it down, and we'll break it down for you, right?
Okay.
So last year there was no estate tax, and any amount of money could be inherited. So that thing is, you have to tell the IRS, right? But that's how that works. Now, when you get property, when you inherit property, you inherit it at its current market value.
Right.
Now, you turned around within how long a period of time and sold the house after your parents died?
Oh, a long time. It was like 6 years. So the property was worth more when we inherited it than it was when we sold it.
Great. So let's say you inherited the house and it was $100,000 value, and 6 years later it was $80,000. It was probably more like $200,000 and $80,000, but let's just say $100,000.
Yes.
So then you pay tax on top. Not tax. You pay maybe you paid a broker fee. There were costs of expenses and all the rest of sale. So maybe you netted out $65,000.
Right.
You do not owe tax on $65,000. You just have to tell the government that you had, and then you divided it amongst the four of you.
Right. Okay.
So you should be fine in terms of tax. It's just a lot of paperwork is all you have to worry about.
It is a lot of paperwork, and at times it's intimidating because it's like, well, I think I understand it, and I did, but then I think, well, is there a loophole there I'm not seeing? And we're not talking about a lot of money anyway, but...
You know what? You're not. I mean, unless there's something you haven't told me,
no.
That would be, and I'm sure you haven't. I can't even imagine for last year. This year, it's going to get a little bit more complicated. But even so, at these numbers, and you sold it at a loss, even if you did it in 2013, I don't believe you would owe any taxes on this property.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I love your show.
Oh, thanks so much, Susan. You have a great afternoon. 20 minutes past the hour. We've got Rhonda Duffy coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. We've got a whole host of calls, and we're still talking about rebuilding America. 404-872-0750. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. We live tweet during these shows. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. And if you're not following me, you are missing half the conversation. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Glad to have you. So this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about what people are seeing online. So many people, more than 90% of everybody, starts their search for a home online, and they're looking at pictures. And it seems to me that that's just fraught with danger. What do you think about all of these photos and how people should read them when they go online to look for a house?
Well, you're absolutely right. The dangers of looking online are so dangerous to a buyer's actual availability of properties to buy. Okay, so what they do, and all the buyers out there can shake their head, yes, this is what we do, because it's actually 97% now, and they search all the way up until closing to see if something better has come on the market. So it's kind of scary. It's good for a buyer. But here's what they do. They skim down the page, looking at the front photo, looking at the front. Oh, here's one. We'll look inside. Okay, I don't like their stuff. And, you know, I recently did a case study, which, of course, I'm going to post on my blog, rhondaduffy.com. And the case study showed a house that was on the market, and then it was staged. And it was dramatically different. And yet all the buyers that we surveyed said, oh, my gosh, of course I would go for this one, okay? So I think the danger is that they start as a buyer eliminating properties that really should be considered for the bones of what they have to offer. So I would recommend, instead of shortening your list with your calculated, okay, this is on, this is off, by looking at photos, I would say see everything in the market. Because whereas the Internet can be used as a tool, it can also be a dangerous weapon against your choice.
I think that's a great suggestion. I hope on your blog this week you're going to actually list out, because I can imagine 10 or 15 things you'd want to avoid or be aware of when you're looking at these pictures online, how images really don't necessarily reflect reality. So will you do that?
Yes, definitely. My mother has her own story, and I'll put it out there.
RhondaDuffy.com. I'm going to go there and read it. RhondaDuffy.com. Real Estate Insight is brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, and you can get more information at RhondaDuffy.com. Rhonda, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week.
All right. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We will be back in a flash with more of the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB. It's 11:36 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today on this not-so-rainy day. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB. We're talking about rebuilding America one house at a time. Yours, your neighbors, your cousins, your loved ones, your boss, your employee. Rebuilding America is going to require all of our focus and all of our energy, and everything we do can help move us forward. And that's what I want to do this year. Brent joins us on the line from Gainesville. Hey, Brent.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. Rebuilding America. What can I do for you?
Well, first-time caller, first-time listener, and I'm really enjoying the show. And I've had the same mentality you had. Right before the new year, I said this is going to be a year of rebuilding and a positive year and a year of good change.
Then it's fortuitous you found the show, because now we're going to talk about it together.
Awesome. And I'm surrounding myself with people that are accepting the same mentality.
Great.
43 years old, self-employed, found myself separated 2 years ago. And I just moved my business and office up to the Atlanta area and looking to rebuild all the way around. I'm in the process now of looking to buy a home and looking to buy something that's a little less than what I was, you know, planning on buying at this stage of my life. I'm thinking more of maybe even a townhome.
Would you like to spend $11,000 for your house? Because I just wrote a story for CBS News called What Can You Buy for $11,000? And it included a place in Atlanta, although some of my readers have suggested that you may become target practice if you live there. But, you know, hey, just it's $11,000. Were you thinking of spending a little more than that?
Yeah, I was planning on spending a little bit more than that.
Okay.
I just wanted to get your advice. Do you think the real estate market is going to go back down anytime soon, or do you think it's going to stay on this uptick?
So do I think that you're buying a house to sell it in 6 months? Is that what you're really asking me?
No, ma'am. I'm looking to buy a house and stay in it and build some equity in it for a while.
All right. 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think whatever you buy, as long as you buy in a smart neighborhood and you're thoughtful about it, in 10 years, the value will be higher than what it is when you buy it.
Okay.
So I often get people who call me and ask that question. You're first-time callers, so the idea that you're buying and you might lose a little money in a brief dip, and then their market goes on an upswing, nobody ever knows when the bottom of the market is, the true bottom, because it differs from neighborhood to neighborhood.
Right.
I have a good friend who lives in Birmingham, Michigan, right outside of Detroit.
Right.
And you could say when he told me that he had bought a house. I met him in 2010, and he told me he had bought his house in November of 2009. And I said, I don't know if that was the bottom, quite the bottom. And he said, really? And so we looked it up, and I think that was like, you know, 3 or 4 months into 2010. And sure enough, values had dropped further in his neighborhood, and he was like all worried. And I said, you know, don't be worried. Are you selling today? And he said, no. I said, well, let's give it some time and see. He recently went back on Zillow and a couple of other websites and realized that prices had gone up 20-25%. He had bought at the bottom. November of 2009 seems to have been the bottom. But it was a total fluke, right? He's never going to guess it for sure. And what if the bottom had actually been January of 2010 or September of 2009, and he had missed it by a few months?
Right.
It's not like the market had jumped 20% in a month. It had jumped, you know, 20-25% 2 years, three, it's almost 3 years later, because a bunch of the foreclosures in his neighborhood had sold and some time had elapsed and everybody else had held on to their houses and nobody else went into foreclosure. And so prices rose quite a clip. And that's kind of what you're looking at now in Atlanta, where you have so many more foreclosures in every neighborhood. I mean, Atlanta has really been a ground zero for this.
Yeah.
You just have a great opportunity. You have mortgage interest rates at the lowest level.
Well, that was also my point, because you know, I feel, you know, with the mortgage rates being where they are right now, and I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we don't think that the interest rates are going to be going up.
At some point in time, we're going to look back and say, wow, I really wished I had refinanced for 3%.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine was telling me, you know, well, what if you held on? I'm like, even if I lost $10,000 in equity in the house, you know, in the value of the home, to secure a small interest rate, I said, I think would pay it off, you know, would be the balance.
In 2 years, you'd make it back. In 3 years, and then not to mention the 30 years or 15 years, whatever you're going to do. No, this is the time to buy.
Yeah,
and
okay.
What you're going to be able to do, Brent, which is really amazing, is you're going to be able to buy more house than you otherwise would have in a better neighborhood with a better school district.
Well,
and you
one
should.
Question I have for, well, I'm single. My child is 19, so I'm in a good position with my debt to income, and business is doing great. So I'm.
All right, don't make me start turning the show into a dating site, because I'm going to be having callers now.
No,
want Brent's number.
And one other question I have for you.
Yeah.
What would you recommend as a investment tool to start reinvesting back into my retirement? Because I've pretty well have.
You're self-employed?
Yes.
So you should take advantage and open up a solo 401k.
Yeah.
Which would allow you to put up to, I didn't even look up the number this year, but I think it's like $49,500.
Okay.
If you get that income, you can just shove it right in there, and it won't take too many years at saving that kind of level. At you know the ability, and if whether you put in $10,000 or you put in $49,000, the point is that a solo 401k will allow you to do that. Now the only problem you face is if your business ever turns into one where you have employees.
Oh yeah, we do.
Oh, you do have employees. Okay,
yeah.
So then you can't. So now what you have to do is think about: do you have a 401k plan for them?
Not for our employees. We were waiting for the new tax law to set into place to find out exactly what our liabilities were going to be prior to expanding more into the benefit part.
Got it. So we did a 401k for our employees, and I found it has not been expensive at all. There are some very inexpensive places that you can do it. So we do it through our payroll company. I use Sure Payroll. And they've got something called Sure 401k, and it's nice because it automatically works with the payroll system.
Okay.
That's just our solution. I've been with Sure Payroll for, I don't know, it's like 10 years. So, but there are other, I think Quicken has a solution like that, Intuit, Costco rebrands or remarkets the Quicken stuff. So for a small to medium-sized business, there are a lot of ways that you can offer that for not that much money, and your employees will be very happy. So you just have to look into it and decide what kind of a solution you're really looking to provide and what you want to do for yourself. So that would be one way to do it. And I think it's probably a good way. And then the other thing to do is just save all kinds of money in an after-tax account after-tax brokerage account and start really plowing it away, whatever you can afford, especially now before you're, you know, maybe hopefully one day you're going to find another true love, but until then, you know, salt away your cash.
I'm going to be maxing out my Roth IRA funds, which I feel pretty confident and comfortable with. Is that something you'd recommend as well?
I like Roth IRAs tremendously, and your only hang-up, and you're single, so you get to go up to, I think it's like $130,000 this year. I just looked at the numbers. I have to go back and pull those out. But there's a really high number for income that you can have and still do a Roth IRA. Roth 401ks are another way to put away money if you end up doing that 401k plan for your company.
Okay.
And I like those as well. Any way that you can save money and give yourself options down the line. You're 43 years old. You've got a whole lifetime ahead of you. And God willing, it's going to be some really good years for all of us as we... Sure. Go on this Rebuilding America path, so you'll have plenty of time.
Can you give me your website?
Sure. ThinkGlink, ThinkGlink.com. And you'll be interested in the small business stuff that we're starting over at the Equifax Finance blog. But just go to my website, sign up for my newsletter, and then you'll get pointed to all the best stories we put out every week. There's about 20 to 30 pieces of content that we publish, and this way you get it all in one email.
Well, thank you for your time, and have a great day, and I'm going to be excited to go to the website, learn more.
Sounds good, Brent. Tune in. You know, we're here every Sunday, 11 to 1, on News Talk WSB. Have a great day. 46 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Lucy joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Lucy.
Hello.
What are you doing to rebuild America?
Well, working hard and trying to have a small business. Oh, I just opened a business.
Good for you. Yeah. What does your business do?
I have an agency for cleaning service.
A cleaning service agency.
Yes.
Well, that's something that everybody can use. So, good luck with that. Let us know how it goes. What can I do for you today?
Well, you know, I have a rental place in the mortgage world with Bank of America.
Uh-huh.
And they sold it to Owen. And I never received any letter.
Yeah.
Until one letter from the new mortgage company saying that I was late. I forgot to tell you that I have automatically payments. And my saving account, or my checking account, is still with Bank of America. So I thought everything was good. And then they say, you are 3 months late, and now you don't come with the money, we're going to foreclose.
Okay. So Ocwen is known for having terrible customer service, and they bought about $300 million in loans from Bank of America, maybe even more than that. So here's what you have to do.
Just let me finish. I panic, and I pay whatever they told me I had to pay, but I want to recuperate my the money that they, because I had to pay interest and fees, and I paid the 3 months that they said, because I really have the money. It just, they did, Bank of America.
What, did you go back to Bank of America and talk to them about why they didn't transfer the deposit account?
I did, and they told me, we don't have your account with you anymore, so talk to Owen. We don't have anything to do with you anymore. That's the way that they treat me.
Okay, that's offensive, and I don't blame you for being really mad, because I would be really mad.
Oh, yeah.
So Ocwen said, we can't help you because we don't know what Bank of America is doing with the money, and Bank of America said, we don't own your loan anymore,
yes.
Don't bother us.
Yes.
Is that a fair and accurate summary of the account?
Sorry?
Okay. Here's what you need to do, all right? You need to go to a website from the U.S. government called helpwithmybank.gov.
Helpwithmybank.com. Okay.
Gov. It's a .gov site.
Okay.
Help. It's from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and they regulate Bank of America.
Okay.
And you need to write a letter to them. It's a complaint. It's in the right hand. There's a blue box, and it says contact the customer assistance group or file a complaint. You want to file a complaint. And you want to write them a very nice letter that says, this is the story, this is what's going on, this is what Bank of America said to me.
Okay.
All right? At the same time, I want you to call the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance.
Banking and?
Georgia Department of Banking and Finance.
Okay.
At 770-986-1633. You need to go there, and you have to tell them what happened to you. Talk to the ombudsman and ask them to if they can intervene with Ocwen to get them to see, you know, what's going on and if those payments from Bank of America showed up a little late. Sometimes when you sell a loan, it shows up late. The money shows up late and it comes later, but it's unbelievable that it would take 3 months. And I do think that a lot of this has to do with Bank of America. You can check back in at helpwithmybank.gov to see what's going on, and they will get back to you. And you should be in touch with me and let me know what's going on so that I can provide a little more assistance if you need it. All right? 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. We'll be back with more of your questions and my answers on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glenk is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, it's 12:07. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, and such exciting stuff coming up. The website thinkglink.com. I am proud to announce that we have finished our 9-part series on investing in real estate. 9 parts. We're done shooting them. They're in edit now. They're going to be done at the end of the month, which is 2 weeks. Very exciting. And we are building a place on the website where you'll be able to see them and download them and do, you know, interact and all kinds of cool stuff. So that is all coming in February. If you sign up for the free weekly newsletter, you will be among the first to, and of course there'll be a discount because there always is, to get access to this 9-part webinar. I think it's going to be like 3 hours. You're going to feel like you really know me at the end of this. I tell all kinds of stories about our investing in real estate and other people and give you all kinds of tips and guidance, and there's an ebook series that's going to go along with it, all kinds of really cool stuff, and that is coming very, very soon. So sign up for the free weekly newsletter on thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter. We're going to have all kinds of cool stuff going along with it. 404-872-0750, that is our number here at the station, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We have a prize pack coming up a little bit later, I believe. I'll have to double-check on that. And we're going to take some more of your calls. We've been talking today about rebuilding America one house at a time. This is the theme of 2013 for me. I truly believe that if we all put our minds to it, that we are going to be able to solve this, and I am going to lead the way. Just every single question we take, every single thing we do, keep focused on rebuilding America, because a strong America is a strong thing for the whole world. And I want us to do what we can to make sure that we are out in front and that you have the help you need to rebuild your life. And we're just going to do it one house at a time, one call at a time, one letter at a time, one email at a time. 404-872-0750. Lynn joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Lanice, I've listened to you for a long time, and I really enjoy your advice.
Thank you. I'm so glad you could join us today. What can I do to help you rebuild?
My credit is outstanding, and my home has been paid for a couple years, and I'm close to retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And I could retire now, but I prefer to work a couple more years.
Sure, why not? Keep busy, keep active. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, my son had a business on the side, and he filed bankruptcy at my advice a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So several years ago, I bought a house in my name for his family with the intention of both of us of selling it to him somewhere down the road, you know. Well, so the mortgage on his house is in my name, and his situation has been such that he's not been able to make the payments all the time, and I've been making the payments. So what I've been thinking of is I financed $124,000 on that house at 4.375, and it was a foreclosure, and it was a good deal.
Okay.
So my house is paid for. My house is worth about $300,000, and I'm thinking, you know, I like the idea of my house being paid for.
Yes, I would think you do, given that you are a few years away from retirement.
Yeah, and I have enough in my Roth and my other accounts that I could almost pay his house off now, but of course I'm not going to. So what I'm thinking about doing is taking a mortgage on my house to take advantage of the lower interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm liable for his house regardless.
Of course.
And I still plan on selling it to him. And so sometime in the next 1, 2, 3 years, whenever he gets to that point, I would sell it to him and then I would pay my house off. So
okay.
What's your thinking on that?
So I want to step back for a minute and think about the larger implications, because you want to help your son, and you've already helped him a tremendous amount, but he's still not on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother instinct, and I know because I've got two boys, is you want to make it as easy as possible for them, and he's got your grandchildren are there and his wife and all the rest. But is there a point where, and only you know this because I'm not there watching it, where he is truly making every effort that he can to rebuild his life, or is he coasting because you're helping making it easier for him?
No, they had some medical issues, and the wife is working now, not full-time, but she's been working for about 8 months now. So we're very confident, we're pretty darn confident that their income is going to be going up quite a bit.
Okay, so it's not like he's just, you know, he's thrown up his hands and he's never going to work again and you're just trying to enable him and all that.
There's, right.
None of that is there.
Right. He was the sole source of income, and he's with a very large company. He's got about 13 years with him.
Yep.
So his job is stable. It's always been stable, and he's a very hard worker. He's even worked two jobs at times. So the big thing is the second income has been there for the better part of the year, and, you know, I'm expecting their income to go up.
How is their credit after the bankruptcy? Have they been able to rebuild that?
They're still working on it. You know, I don't know what his score is, but I know he's still working on it. And I'm, you know, advising him on that, like to put a couple $100 in a savings account and then see if the credit union or bank will give him a charge card with that amount for a limit. And pay it off monthly, that kind of stuff.
Lynn, you sound like you've been listening to my show for a long time. And Clark, by the way.
You, Clark, Wes Moss, you name it.
All good. All right, so here's the thing. When you have a child, do you have any other children, or is it just this one?
The other one, he's fine.
Right, but you don't ever want to show favoritism, right?
Right, well, I loan the other one money for a down payment on a house, but I know I'll get that back.
Okay, so here's what I think you should do. If you refinance your own house, you will be able to get, you know, I would do it for maybe a 10-year loan at under 3%.
Okay.
And just take out what you need to pay off that other house at $124,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a 10-year loan at 2.75% or 3%, which is unbelievable anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That other house gets paid off, and now if you want, you can gift your son some of that house every year as a down payment. You can have it put into a trust. There's a whole bunch of ways to structure it where when he goes to, or just leave it as is, and when he's able to refinance some point in time, you can sell him the house instead of for $124,000. You can sell it to him for, let's say, $80,000. It'll appraise higher, and that will be his down payment. So there are a bunch of different ways that you can help make it even easier for him to qualify to buy that house from you.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go to your son, your other son, who you've lent the down payment money to, and you can forgive that loan.
Uh-huh.
And then you're fair between both sons. Because what I don't want to have happen is for your boys to resent each other, thinking that you're showing favoritism to one or the other. Because you sound like the kind of mom who wouldn't want to be seen that way.
Uh-huh.
I know I wouldn't want my boys fighting over me.
No, I've helped them both tremendously, and they're both aware of it.
That's great. So then you do what you think is best, but I think that, if you can pay the 3% on the money instead of paying 4.375, although functionally for another 2 years, the difference isn't that big. And you're not paying that much money. In fact, I would even take a slightly higher interest rate and have no out-of-pocket costs because, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to really matter for you. And why would you want to pay cash out of pocket for something you're only going to keep for a few years?
Right.
So try to get, if it's maybe 3.25, but $200 in cash out of pocket and you can refinance your house, that's a better deal for you than going lower on the interest rate but paying a higher amount in cash out of pocket.
Yeah, because I would like to reduce the, I want to save the money and I would like to reduce the payments on that house that I'm making.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to do it, but then you have to think about how you're going to get them to be able to do it. Now, the other thing you could do is you can sell the house to them, and you can just be the bank.
That's what I even thought. Even in a couple years, I might do that, and I would be the bank.
Right, and then when they pay you off, you can do it with almost no cost, and you can finance 80% and, you know, gift the rest of it, or whatever you decide to do, there are ways to structure it. I would just encourage you to get a real estate lawyer to draw up a real mortgage and a real contract with them, and then you file it with the recorder's office of deeds. You've got, you know, the world is on notice that you've got that loan and they've got that obligation, and then you can start reporting their on-time payments to the credit reporting bureaus. You can get that set up so that you're helping them rebuild their credit.
Yeah, I had thought of that too.
And so all of those things are really helpful rebuilding things that I love, because it just helps us rebuild America another house at a time.
Okay, so if I sold the house to them as the bank, and I am an independent person, would I have to have an employer's ID or something to report
No, I don't believe you do.
I would just file a report with
you can
the
file with them. You have to set yourself up as an account. It's a little bit complicated to get it set up, but then once it is set up, you can have that information you can report it every single month to them.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad way to get around it. But the concept here is you want to provide help always, right? You want to help your children, but you want to provide it in a smart and strategic way so that what you're really doing is teaching them how to fish, right? You don't really want your kids to just hand them fish all day long. You want to teach them how to fish so that they can go and support themselves and their families for all time. And I don't think it was a mistake for your son to start a small business. It's unfortunate that it didn't work out. But in this country, you know, we are built on the back of entrepreneurs, generations after generations of entrepreneurs. And if we don't start businesses in our garage, in the basement, in the second floor study, above the garage, wherever, if we don't take those risks, and if we don't try, even though we're going to fail, that is how America gets great. Because all of us tap into that larger piece of us that dreams a bigger dream. And when I think about rebuilding America, I think about people like your son who actually took the risk. And maybe it was ill-advised or he didn't have enough cash to keep going. There are all kinds of reasons that businesses fail. But if we don't keep trying and we don't believe that we can make a better life for ourselves and that the lives of our families will be better for the trying, we're not going to get America rebuilt. We're not going to rebuild in a place that's going to be smart and strong and be a leader to our family, our friends, our neighbors, the world. It just, the circles get bigger and bigger. So I applaud you for helping him out, and I hope you encourage him to give it another shot, because I'd hate for him to just give it up and never try to do something else. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time. We'll be back in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
When you're unwanted, streets are uneven, when you're down.
12:25, time for the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. The value is $340, and it includes a pair of tickets to the Alliance Theater's presentation of Good People, January 16th through February 10th on the Alliance stage, a four-pack of tickets to the 38th Annual Atlanta Camping and RV Show, January 25th through the 27th at the Atlanta Expo Center South, a four-pack of tickets to see the Gwinnett Gladiators on January 26th at the Gwinnett Arena, and a pair of tickets to Fifth Third Bank Broadway in Atlanta's presentation of Flashdance, February 5th through the 10th at the Fox Theater. All right, we're going to give that whole great package away to the fifth caller to our prize pack line, 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal, because I think she's the one who's answering your calls. Good luck. It's 26 minutes past the hour. Let's see if we can squeeze a quick call in. Heather joins us on the line from Suwannee. Hey, Heather.
Hey, Elise. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Sure. How can I help you rebuild today?
Well, I bought a townhome back in 2007, and I refied last year. I went from 6.25 to 4.1.
Good.
I didn't use the HARP loan, and I just refied with the company, the mortgage company that I had, because I shopped around, and everybody was dragging their heels, and I just finally, they called me, and so I refied. But we're getting married in May, and at some point we do want to start a family, and the townhome is just not going to be large enough. And so,
how big a family are you starting? Is it a two-bedroom townhome?
It is a two-bedroom townhome. There's capability for three bedrooms, but the basement is not finished, so we have 2.5 baths.
Okay, so you can stay there for a while, though. You don't have to move out tomorrow, right?
Right. No, we don't. But at the same time, I know that the rates are low, and I'm sure they'll be low for a while. And so that's kind of what I wanted to know is, you know, if I don't want to sell the home or try to sell the home and end up taking a loss. But at the same time, I want to take advantage of the rates that are available now to get in a home at a low rate and that kind of thing. So I just didn't know what your opinion was on that.
My opinion is you're putting the cart before the horse.
Okay.
So get married, enjoy and relax in your married life. You're not having a baby today, right?
No, but I'm 37, so I want to, that's part of the urgency of it.
I understand, but you can stay in your townhome for a while with one baby. So unless you have triplets, right?
Right.
Which, I'm not wishing that on you, because I know a bunch of women with triplets.
Right.
You're not going to run out of room too quickly. I think you should take a breath. Get married, enjoy that, work on getting pregnant, and when you're pregnant or you have the baby, then you can work on a new house. Don't worry about interest rates. They're not going to go up at least until 2015, maybe the end of 2014. You got a ways to go. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Bring on to the other side.
35 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. This is The Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, one business at a time. You, one person at a time, one entrepreneur at a time. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Follow me on Twitter. There's just been a really active conversation all day today. My Twitter handle is at Glink. At GLINK. Go to the website, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. I announced at the beginning of the hour that we have just finished shooting a 9-part webinar on investing in real estate called The Intentional Investor. I think it's How to Make a Fortune in Real Estate, something like that. Anyway, we will be having it. It's in edit now. It's going to be done at the end of the month. It's going to come with an ebook package. We're rebuilding a piece of thinklink.com to accommodate it, and we're going to make it available to you. And, of course, the first people who are going to find out about it are going to be the newsletter followers. So make sure you're there and you're following me on Twitter, because all the best deals, discounts, information, access to things, everybody who's signed up that way and connects with us, they're going to be the ones who are going to get it first. And I want that to be you, because if we're going to rebuild America, it all starts with you. 404-872-0750. Linda joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Elise. Can you tell me where I can get my investment property refinanced? And the problem that I can't do this, because it's not owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I'm about $40,000 underwater, which I have to bring to the table.
for a regular refinance, and I just don't have that kind of cash, and I just don't know where else to turn it, because I don't want to have a financial crisis where my tenants move out and the mortgage is too high for me to pay, and I can't pay it at that time.
All right, let's back up a little bit. So how long have you owned this property, Linda?
9 years.
And you bought it because?
Investment-wise, investment properties.
And do you own a lot of investment properties?
No, I only own one other, and that's going fine. And I own, and my home that I live in is currently paid for.
Okay. And how much do you owe on this property?
109.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 103.
103. And what is it worth?
About 80, 85.
Okay. If your loan on this isn't Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac,
uh-huh.
I can't imagine who would give you a mortgage on a property that's $18,000 underwater.
Right.
So not only do you have to come to the table with the 18, you have to come with enough so that you've got a 20% down payment.
Right.
So what is the interest rate you're paying?
6.250.
Not horrible, but you could pay less.
Yes.
Not a lot less. Not maybe about a 1%, maybe 1.25% less. And I'm not saying that every 1.25% isn't worthwhile. I'm just saying it's not like you're at 15%
mm-hmm.
or 10% or even 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is you should feel a little not horrible about it. Now, what could you do? Right? Because even, you know, if you could save 1.25%, why wouldn't you want to do it? So your first option is, of course, to come to the table with 40 grand. Now, you said the property is not currently rented?
Well, it is. It is currently rented, but I'm just looking forward in case my tenants decide to move out. I want
right.
to get the payment.
And when they're paying you money, are you actually covering all of your expenses?
About 97%, yes.
So you're not covering everything. You're still out of pocket.
Yes.
Okay, so your other option, besides coming up with 40 grand in cash, do you have 40 grand?
In my retirement savings.
Okay, I totally don't want you digging that out.
No, I don't want to.
You can't. It's not worth it for the amount of the savings that you're going to have.
Uh-uh.
So then your other option is if you are still employed.
Yes, I am.
Then you can refinance your own property. How much is your own house worth?
It's about maybe 90,000, maybe between 80 and 90.
You're not going to get enough there to be able to do a refi.
Uh-huh.
So that's not going to work. But what it would do is if you refinanced, let's say you took out 40,000 of that house, which you'd be able to do at 3% or 3.5%,
uh-huh.
and you could apply it to the to the rental property and pay down the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly you would be right side up, and then you could probably refinance that property.
Okay.
So then you're putting your own house at risk. How are you going to sleep at night with that?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Right.
So then you've come to the conclusion, or we have, that you can't refinance this property and still sleep at night. Because either you have to take out your money from your retirement account, which I don't think you should do because you've got tax implications and other implications there. I mean, that's your future.
Right.
Or you have to put your own house at risk and take out a $40,000 loan, which, by the way, is hard to do. You'd have to do like a $50,000 loan, then pay back $10,000 of it, and take the other $40,000 in cash and pay down the other loan. And there's a financial argument to be made for that. But if you can't sleep at night, I don't want you doing it, because it's all about whether you're sleeping at night, right?
Right.
And sleeping at night is worth the money to not have that headache.
Exactly, because my own property has only been paid for 2 years, and it is a good feeling.
So then you're going to just have to live with the fact you don't have the lowest interest rate on your investment property. What you should be working on is getting your tenants to pay enough that it's going to cover everything.
Okay.
I wish I had a better answer, Linda. I wish I had this magic bullet that everybody who calls here wants. And I just know that if I lead you down a path where you're putting your house at risk, you're not going to be happy with me because you're not going to be sleeping at night.
Right.
And it's not worth it to do that, to put $40,000 towards the rental property to bring down the interest rate if you're not going to sleep at night.
Right. Well, okay, I just thought maybe it was another avenue out there, but I have not pursued. But I have, been...
You're underwater, so you have to... your first task is to figure out how to get above ground. And because it's an investment property, you need to be way above ground.
Exactly.
Otherwise, nobody's going to touch you.
Well, I believe they would help me if it's a hardship. Well, it's not a hardship, but then a hardship... No,
you're
problem.
Nowhere near a hardship.
Exactly. So they said, well, you have to be up 3 months behind where I was my tenant.
No. Don't go down that path. It's 6.25%. It's not the end of the world.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Linda. And if you just keep working an extra year, I know you said you were 2 to 3 years, not retired yet. If you just work an extra year, all of it's moot because you'll have saved up that much more money in retirement for retirement by not using your retirement dollars. It would all be moot. The numbers would work out for you just fine. 404-872-0750. Jay joins us on the line. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm great. What can I do to help you rebuild today?
Well, I'm actually helping a friend out whose father just passed away around Christmas time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was awful. But I'm an insurance agent, but I'm not as active as I used to be. So what we have is we had a long-term care policy paying for about 7 years. But during those years, they continued to pay a very hefty premium. Yeah, I'm having to sort of dust off the cobwebs here, but wouldn't the waiver of premium, or what is your opinion of that on a long-term care? Would the waiver of premium kick in?
It seems like it would. It depends on what, typically once the policy, you start paying, you need the benefits of the policy. My understanding is on most policies, you stop paying the premium.
Well, I know disability policies work that way, but then again, with a disability policy, you have an income factor. On a long-term care, you don't have as much of an income factor. But, and it was just a generic question. I told my friend that possibly, there's an animal out there where the waiver of premium is not applicable. But I just thought maybe I'd get your opinion on that.
I think that if you are an insurance agent, you have training in reading these incredibly convoluted documents, and you're going to know if you look at your friend's paperwork exactly where to go to see what his premium, his policy says.
Right.
And if you really want to be a great friend, then what you want to do is say, hand over the paperwork, and
yeah.
I will take a look. And that's the only way you're really going to know. But I have to say, that's an incredibly helpful thing to do. It's something that my husband Sam did for some friends of ours when lightning struck their house 2 years ago, and the whole thing burnt to the ground. And they were wandering. We went to see them the next day. They were wandering around the smoking ruins of it going, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lightning hit our house, and we went up in flames. Now what? And it, by the grace of God, seriously, the place where they had their papers in the house didn't get destroyed. And Sam said, do you have the policy? And they said, well, funnily enough, we do. And he took it and he read it for them and helped them enormously.
Well, that's wonderful. And I have asked that question, and I said, I've known the guy a long time, so I said, I'm afraid you're not going to know the answer to this question, but where is the policy? And he didn't even know. So
well,
I've already asked that, yeah.
But your answer is, let me help you with some typical places that people put these kinds of things. Do you know the name of the company? You can also get these policies online.
Oh, absolutely. I do know the company, and I purposefully did not.
Well, you have to ask him if he'd be willing to let you step in and get that for them, and you'd probably, whatever it is, there are ways to do it, but even just letting him know that he could get it online is probably a huge help. Even if you just set it up for him and put the ball on the tee and help him bring back the iron and let him do the swinging, it's a lot better than if he just sits there and goes, I don't really know what to do. But that is a great opportunity for you to step in and provide some really key help. 404-872-0750. Debbie joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Well, how can I help you rebuild today?
I am hopefully, I'm 57 years old and hope to retire in about 5 years. And my house will be paid for in 7 more payments.
Wait a second. This year, seven more payments?
Yes.
How excited are you?
I'm going crazy.
What are you going to do when you actually pay it off? Are you going to have a repayment party? Or are you going to, what are you going to do?
I think I am. I think I'm going to take my whole family to dinner, and we're going to celebrate.
I think that is a fabulous thing to do.
But I'm calling because my sister and I have been looking at vacation homes up in the North Georgia area, and we want, it'll be initially a vacation home, but we want to retire up there in about 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And because my house is getting ready to be paid off, I'm trying to think of the smartest way. Number one, I want to take advantage of the low interest rates and the low property values that are out there right now. And so I'm pushing hard to go ahead and buy something, and she's the one that's kind of holding the chain and saying, I don't know.
Well, wait a second. Are you going to live with your sister when you retire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, like I said, I don't know if the smart thing to do is to go ahead and just get a loan for the other home or to refinance my house or...
Okay, let's back up. The first thing you need is a team of people in the North Georgia area, wherever it is you're looking, that are going to help you find the right house and then finance it when you get it.
Okay.
And it may be that the smartest thing at that time when you shop around, because it'll be a vacation home, so you may pay a little bit more. The smartest thing at that point in time may be to refinance your primary residence. But at the moment, you don't know what you're buying, and you don't know how much it's going to cost.
Right.
And so what I think you want to do, and if your sister is not thinking about buying at this time, and as long as you're going to really use this house in the next 5 years, that's fine to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not really going to use it, and it's going to be vacant most of the year, that's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, okay.
So I understand why she's thinking about maybe holding back, and I understand why you're pushing forward. But pay attention to this. Low interest rates are not the only reason to buy today. Low interest rates and low home prices make a very compelling argument.
Yes.
So I want you to find a great real estate agent who can really help you think through what it is you'd want, how you'd want to live. If you're going to live with your sister, it's going to be a retirement home. Maybe you want a ranch home or a one-level house that has, you know, a basement that, you know, is easily accessible. Or maybe it's the second floor is where the guest rooms are. And you're going to need two first-floor master bedrooms so that the two of you have easily accessible living quarters in your retirement. You're not going to want to do stairs your whole life.
Right.
So I want you to think through what this retirement looks like. You may not want to have a really steep driveway that has to get plowed if there's snow, if you're up in the mountains and they do get snow, right? You may not, you have to think through all these different things, and an agent will help you. And you want to find an agent who works with people like you all day long so that they really can help you understand what you need to do and will introduce you to a whole community of people who can help you take care of the property, who will help you finance it, the inspector who's going to look at it, maybe a handyman to help you do fix-up things. So there's a lot of work to be done before you actually buy. And for your sister, the whole idea of leaping into buying is probably too much. But if you involve her in the process and the two of you guys start to do this together, she will and you find the right place at the right price, at the right terms, with the right interest rate, I'm guessing she's going to come along for the ride. And if not, you'll buy it. And then she can buy it from you later down the line. 404-872-0750, 1251. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, here on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
First 56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. So glad you could join us today. You know, when I think about rebuilding America, I think about how often, you know, everybody asks me, let me back up a second. So you know that wherever I go, I'm like the Dear Abby of real estate, right? And it's very sad we lost Pauline Phillips this week. But, you know, when I got that moniker, somebody said that about me, you know, 20, 15, 20 years ago when I first started answering questions about real estate in my syndicated column. I thought, you know, it's sort of a high-level thing, right? People call, they ask questions, we solve problems, and you move on with your day. And my job is to make that as entertaining and as helpful as possible. When I thought this week about how, since the start of the year, there's this new energy that I'm picking up. I've already been in New York this year and Boston, Miami, Dallas, swung through Dallas, and this week I'm going to Salt Lake City. Then I'll be back doing another swing through Atlanta, back to Chicago. You know, I'm really all over the different parts of the country. And when I think about what rebuilding America means to me, and this idea that there are solvable problems out there, we just need to harness the resources that I have at my fingertips. And I do it for you every single week, and I've been doing it here for 15 years, but I want to do it in a larger way now because it's become clear to me that if we're going to make a difference, if we're really going to get this thing turned around, we've got to rebuild America one house at a time. And you've got to help out, and I've got to help out a lot. And that's what I'm going to do. And so whether you're an entrepreneur working on a small business, whether you're looking to refinance, whether you're looking to buy another house, start, draw a line in the sand, rebuild your credit, start a new financial life, I'm here for you every Sunday at 11 o'clock here on News Talk WSB. And I hope you'll join me again next week as we continue to rebuild America one house at a time. And in the meantime, follow me on Twitter, join me on the website, thinkglink.com, and don't miss out an opportunity to help your neighbor. Have a great week, everybody.